A customer complaint can have a negative effect on your business.
Customers are 2 to 3 times more likely to write a bad review for a negative experience
than to write a good one on a positive experience.
Let's face it, while starting a rental business, we're all going to have to handle complaints and upset customers.
Stay tuned as we discuss how to handle customer complaints and difficulties in the rental industry.
So now you're here. You just got your first bad review or negative review or negative feedback. So what do? So this is the first thing. You cry.
Wipe your tears off and get ready to go confront the complaint.
So what a complaint actually does and how it actually affects your business. All it does is show a hole that's in your business, either from your communication, from your processes, your people, really anything you can kind of imagine. So now that we're here, we have to know like what to take from it, what is we can kind of discard, and then how do we approach the customer. So Eddie. Customer comes in and says your chairs are dirty. What's behind that?
Well, it could be a couple of things. I'd gather a little more information. So one thing that we do now is we educate our customers. So I have to investigate further into the matter, look at the actual chairs that has the complaint against it, see if they are truly dirty. I mean, like it has mud on it or some kind of debris that can otherwise be wiped off or cleaned. If it is that case, then I would look back and say shame on us. But if it's not, now if it has like little scratches or imperfections because you know it's been rented out multiple times, then I would fall back on the education of the customer. But otherwise, I would look at it and also put myself in their shoes and see how could I make this process better for the future as well. I think that's what we've done.
Because every complaint has a truth to it.
Yeah.
A little bit of truth, at least.
Yeah, a little truth, or at least perspective of the other.
Yeah. So I know for us, like you said, like you need to figure out if it's you or us, mm-hmm. or is it the company, is it the customer, is it the policy, or is it God? Because some things you can't control. Mm-hmm. And figure out what is the circumstances, and what do you have to play in these circumstances? Because you're going to get blamed for really every single part of it, even the acts of God. You should have known that it was going to have a level 5 hurricane that comes through here, or tornado, flash flood.
Yeah, right.
Stuff like that. So you're going to have to understand that. But the good thing is that if you, as Eddie said, if you educate the customer, talk to them, have good communication, get to them early, you can be able to level out how bad the impact of it is. But having negative feedback or really, I would say negative feedback is not a bad thing. It actually shows you what you need to work on next and how to keep building your business up. Now, having negative reviews means that you haven't went through this process and you need to watch this video. We've had negative reviews too, but if you've seen the trends of them recently, of the real ones, they've basically been slim to none. You need to actually go through and have a process to be able to eliminate these by allowing people to push out their feedback, but not really push it out in the forms in the ways that you don't want them to.
Yeah.
Eddie has a way they used to do this at Ford Motor Company.
Yeah. So what we used to do is like, I guess a misdirect is what we would call it. So basically, the main thing is that everybody knows about customers. It's the main thing that they just want to be heard. So if you give them the means to be heard and then you educate that thing is very valuable to you, and they're going to go ahead and get all the dirty and all their energy put into that. And they're not going to want to. I've never met a person that has like a vendetta against the company. I'm pretty sure there are some out there, but for the majority, like 95% of the people are not going to go further than that. They're just going to unleash everything on that one little survey you throw at them, especially since you said it's so important to you. And then from there, you can take that information and you can, you know, try to remedy it as best as you can, run with the information and see if you were in the wrong or the right, or basically you can prevent like actual catastrophic damage to your company by doing that.
Yeah, only you can prevent forest fires.
Yeah, right. That.
So we have Tina over here with an interesting statistic.
Bad experiences cost businesses $4.7 trillion in global consumer spending every year.
Oh my gosh, that's a lot of money.
A lot of money.
That seems like a problem someone needs to be working on. We need to be working on that problem.
Well, that's good because then they get a bad one over here, they come to us, then we just recycle it.
Come on. Hopefully recycle, but we need to be working on that. If that's how much is being spent there, 4 trillion, Yeah.
Oh, we need rental. Rental. Solutions.
No, we just want some rental boys no more. It's all about the feedback guys.
Yeah, right.
The feedback boys.
Yeah, right.
We need to get into that. But as you see, you're going to lose the business. And at a certain point, you're going to notice that you're going to get to the point where, like, you're getting the negative feedback or negative reviews are starting to hurt you. So generally, you bring someone in, they might refer somebody else. But eventually, if you're getting a lot of negative feedbacks, it's going to start to hurt your just referral rate and your word of mouth.
Yeah. But talking of which, this bad boy right here, Ultimate Checklist.
The Ultimate Checklist.
It has a lot of good information in here. One of it is how to get 5-star reviews. So check it out. A lot of good information. If you are getting a couple bad ones, this will give you the tactics and the things that we specifically do to kind of boost up our 5-star reviews. So get the Ultimate Checklist. It's in the link in the description.
Chapter 14.
Mm-hmm.
Get your Ultimate Checklist. A great way to stop getting complaints and bad reviews is to be more proactive. A couple ways that we are proactive is we go through and we call every single customer. Right, Eddie?
Yeah.
Do we?
Yep, right after their event.
When?
What do you mean when? Right after their event. Right after the event, we call those bad boys and say, "Hey, how was your event?" And
then
right
only then, the boys.
Well, girls, boys, everybody, and we say, "How was your event?" And then they let us know if it was good. We say, "Awesome. How about you go ahead and give us a 5-star review? That way, all the customers can know how lovely a job we did." Then they usually do it. And then if they don't do it, we just call back and say, "Hey, still waiting for that 5-star review."
They're not paying me until I get the 5-star review.
Yeah. So, but if they say, "It was horrible, this and that happened," and then we're like, "Oh my gosh, all that happened? I will definitely look into this matter." And then we say, "Okay, let's investigate." And we figure out what happened. We come with some kind of resolution. Yeah, we reach back to the customer. So the main thing is we just keep touching base with them because we don't want them to feel unheard. Most of the people that leave bad reviews, they just want to be heard. So we get to them before they can even get to the other step, which is telling the whole world about their experience. So we want them to tell us directly about their experience.
Another way is to be more proactive by educating the customer from the very beginning and communicating exactly what the expectations are going to be on both sides and also understanding their communications. Because most issues come from not understanding and not communicating properly. So that's like a huge thing. So like, what's another thing you always talk about doing? Like what specific things should they educate the customers on, Eddie?
I mean, just to educate them, like, the whole process, what's going to happen. And then you basically need to follow through with your promises. So let them know, like, what time you're going to come, how that process is going to look, what is required of them. Like, sometimes, like I know some people say, like, well, they should know that. Look, you'll go in their backyard, and you're supposed to put it in a specific location. Now there's, like, all this stuff in the way, and they just expect you to move it. So send the customers.
What's this mini-4 is doing
yeah,
here?
I mean, if you talk to one of our delivery driver manager, he'll give you a little story about the guy had a lawnmower waiting for him because he expected him to cut the grass before putting up the tent.
You gonna cut this 5 inches? It's Bermuda.
Yeah, so stuff like that. I know everybody's probably laughing, like, who thinks of that? Well, that one customer did. So it's our job to set the expectation on everybody. No matter how crazy you would think that, you know, that certain things would not occur, it does occur. So just to let everybody know what's going to happen, what time it's going to happen, and then even the pickup process, what that's going to look like, and just over-communicate. That's just the key right there. Just let everybody know, like, you know, everything, what to expect.
Yeah, I know from us, we also use pickup reminders, delivery reminders, and we use the contract. And then we have these guides that we give out to the customers when they use specific items or when they doing like tents or giving categories along that lines. We send them those so they can understand. So for conflict resolution, which is a huge thing, because you're going to get into conflict with people. People are not going to agree with your decisions on how you do stuff. You might lose a couple fights, but we're never going to lose the war. So we're going to do a quick scenario of how to deal with customers who are upset. Specifically when you're right on the phone on them. This is something you might want to show your agent too. This is raw though, so, and Eddie's going to be the customer, so you know it's going to be wow. I'm going to be the agent.
Ring, 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 ring.
Hi, this is Keller Rentals. This is Xavier speaking.
Hello, Xavier. I have a complaint that I'd like to voice my opinion.
Please go. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so basically, I have a delivery today that was supposed to be done at 2 p.m. It's now 4 p.m., and I'm freaking out because my party's at 6 p.m.
Oh, that's not good. So let me get your name really quick so I can figure out what's going on, and we're going to figure out and get this resolved for you.
Okay, thank you.
What's your name?
My name's Eddie.
Oh, thank you, Eddie. Okay. What's your last name?
Sauce.
Sauce. Okay. Let me type in, find your order. Okay. So I just looked around right here. Give me like 1 minute and I'm going to check on what happened and I'm going to give you a call right back. Okay. So then you would call the customer back. Once you get information, you'll figure out what's going on. And if you don't, if you forgot about this order, then you need to go run and go do this
Everybody
order right now.
Everybody freaks out in the backyard. Oh my gosh. You go, like, who forgot about this? Who dropped the ball?
Who dropped the ball? And you go forgot and go get that. Now, okay. Ring, ring, ring.
Hello.
Hey, Eddie, this is Xavier calling about your order.
Oh, thank God you called me back.
So I just talked to the driver. They're about 15 minutes away. They got a little hiccup on traffic, but it still looks like that we're still in the time frame of when we set it. So we apologize for not showing up in your expected time. What time did you expect us to show up?
As early as possible. I told the lady when I specifically told her when I made the sale that I want it to be as early as possible.
Okay, I'll go double check and make sure we said what we're supposed to say. But if not, I apologize for that. And we're going to make sure you get taken care of. Is there anything I can do for you right now?
Yeah, sure. You can set up everything when you get here.
I will talk to the driver and see what we possibly can do so we can accommodate your needs. How much stuff do you have?
Oh, I only have about 200 white chairs and 60-inch rounds, about 20 of them.
Oh, that's not too bad. We'll get that taken care of for you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much. But the whole point is that you need to attack the customer's issue head on, and then you need to be able to break down what's the actual root of the issue and then get a solution to them as fast as possible. And what's that saying that you always say about little fire?
Yeah, just you want to stomp the fire out while it's little, because if you let it, you know, do its thing, next thing you got a forest fire, and it's going to be more impossible to stomp that thing out.
Yeah, if you let it fester, it gets bigger. Yep. And remember, only you can prevent forest fires. So Tina right now has an interesting question for us.
What do I do if a customer is unwilling to come to a resolution about an issue?
So theoretically, you should have this put inside your actual contract, exactly how you're going to resolve issues if any comes up. So you should just follow the plan. But if a customer is unwilling or you're unwilling to meet in the middle somewhere, sometimes you're going to have to part and be bad guns. As long as you have done everything that you think it was reasonable to do, then it's usually you might have a little kickback, but it is what it is on some things. You can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. And so you need to take what you see that you did wrong from this situation, implement systems to improve upon it. But based on what the customer said, you need to offer something that you think is reasonable. And sometimes you might want to offer something a little bit more than what you think is reasonable. The combination should hurt you a little bit. Because realistically, most things that happen in our industry that come from people's expectation is something we did wrong on communication for the most part. So that's just some stuff I think. What about you, Eddie?
Yeah, I believe you're right. My main thing is if you have the means to resolve the situation, then do so. So for instance, like we know that some customers ask for some crazy stuff. They're like, all right, I want you to. Since this happened, I want you to take care of my next event, and it's going to be, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars. You know, if this customer was somebody that, you know, brings in, like, I don't know, we'll just say $60,000 a year annually, and it's been a returning customer, something like that would be not too bad. You know what I mean? You just have to take everything with a grain of salt to see, like, what can you do? Because every customer, you've already invested money, whether you've ran ads, you know, all that man hours of your team interacting with this customer for cleaning the equipment that they got, taking their phone call, making their orders, following up on them, all this stuff. So this customer's already invested. So if you can, redeem the situation, then by all means, try to do so. But, you know, like I said, as long as you have the means to do so, if they're asking something kind of crazy and you can't meet in the middle, then, you know, unfortunately, you just have to part ways.
So if you're using spreadsheets or QuickBooks, you need to look at for Rently. Rently is a great software. It's a beautiful made software. It's one of our partners and one of the people that we work with in a lot of stuff that we do. If you're really looking at getting something new, very good inventory management, if you're looking at going through and being able to do automatic booking, great looking website, not one of those pre-made websites that look crazy with old design and stuff like that. So Rently is a great option for that. If you want to support the channel and you want to get Rently, go to Rently, use the coupon code Rently. Rentalboys.com. Rentalboys. And that's the coupon code Rentalboys. It'll show up someone right here. Go show them some love and they'll give you about 2.5 months free to try out. So try it out. Tell me what you think about it. If you hate it, let us know. If you love it, let us know. But thank you guys. Let's get back into the episode. So the next step that we can do is getting our existing employees to be able to handle the complaints as they come in, to get it from the very ground level so we can get them resolved. What's a couple ways that we do in the company right now, Eddie, to do this?
I think we have certain like protocols and like limitations that we give. That way they're not constantly asking. But we basically let them take care of the customer as need be to a certain extent. For instance, if we need to give them like $20 store credit or free delivery or stuff like that, or their next event, we'll allow them to do that. And then they'll put that in the system on their actual profile. And they'll take care of the customer, basically, in that sense. Yeah. Even some refunds, they can do that, too, as well. Generally, they ask for permission on that. But we basically give them the whole breakdown of what's allowed and what they need to get prior approval from upper management.
Yeah. And then this is specifically, I think you're talking about our sales manager, right?
Yeah.
So this is Danica. So, yeah, so she has a lot more, obviously, leeway because she's been working with us for a while. She understands exactly how we processes and refunds and everything we've done, because we've done thousands of
like, well, it hurts.
But thousands of situations have occurred, and you know, and we work through them, good, bad, and some in the middle, so they have worked up, and we've done over like 20,000 events or close to it. So she kind of understands a lot of the little things that how me and Eddie would handle certain situations. Now, as you get work your way down to like, let's say like entry level. Someone who's just in the warehouse, how does that work?
Oh, well,
for them,
I mean, for the most part, what happens commonly is like a customer will come into the warehouse and have an 8-foot table, and they're like, wow, this thing's too big. I thought an 8-foot table was smaller.
I want the small 8-foot.
I wanted the small 8-foot, and we'll allow them to make certain decisions where they can make the judgment to give them a 6-foot or a 4-foot, whatever the customer would like, to kind of, you know, to make sure it's not any negative thought. Because one thing is like when you have like a choke point, or what was the word that you would say?
A bottleneck.
Bottleneck. Things slow down and people don't like slow. So if you can have something set up so they can make just a quick decision and where they won't get yelled at, why don't you give that away for free? Then
That's a farm table.
Yeah, exactly. That's a farm table. I think like, yeah. So, that's what we let them do that. And then the only thing that we ask them is to let the back end know so that we can change their invoice. They don't have any access to changes on our system.
So they'll go ahead and put in the notes, and then they'll just call back or talk to their manager, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. So you want to have at each level from the basic associate to leads to managers exactly what they can do to resolve the issues. And you want to have that across each one of the verticals, from warehouse drivers to actually going into like the management side of everything, and then sales as well. So for like the drivers, I know some customers be like, hey, I thought you guys were going to set this up, or I thought you're going to bring this wheel over there. Some of the drivers will make the decision to, I'm just going to go do it because it's, you know, it's a couple things. Yeah. Grandma needs it.
Yeah, exactly.
And grandma tipping.
Yeah.
Most likely.
Yeah, because they pull up and they're like, you're going to take this up? And it's like, oh, I have no choice.
And then grandma said, yeah. So he's like, show. I got it, grandma.
Yeah, I'll take care of it.
So that's how it usually goes down from those areas. But most of the leeway would happen with your sales side, what they do. But usually I get past the manager. You just got to get back to them pretty fast so that there's no issues. But, you know, one thing that is interesting?
What's that?
Tina's statistics.
Tina.
91% of customers are willing to switch companies after one bad customer experience.
That's a strong 91%, Eddie?
Yep, 91. That's pretty high.
Yeah, that's like one out of every 11?
Yeah.
But now knowing that, you need to have something in place to resolve customers' issues. Because let's say that the average customer goes through and does about, in a lifetime, maybe 10 to 30 events. So, you know, think about that off of one event that you did wrong, especially if it's something that you actually know you did wrong or something that you could have prevented in some way. That's a lot of money to miss out of right there, especially when you don't have multiple, like sometimes if something happens on a person who was like renting with you 5 times, you might be able to redeem it because they understand that you've done great work before. But on the first one, like first impressions are like everything.
Yeah.
And then that's 91%. They're never going to go to you. And then most likely they're going to tell 2-3 other people, which is not, so now you got that working against you on the other side while you're trying to build up your word of mouth, the good word of mouth on the other side. They're just working against you. What do you think, Eddie?
Yeah, just like you said, that's a pretty high number. But if you can get in front of it early and turn it around, then you can decrease that number. Well, the main thing is, I always say, as long as the customer can see that you're making an effort to redeem the situation. And sometimes, like I said, misunderstandings. But if it is something that you personally did, but not intentionally, then obviously the main thing is to apologize and figure out how can you fix it. You know, sometimes you can even be blunt and just ask the customer, like, how can we fix this? Because, you know, I value you as a customer. And realistically, this isn't the way we operate, or we don't usually do this kind of stuff, you know, whatever happened. And generally, you know, we have a reasonable person, they're gonna tell you what needs to be done or what they think needs to be done, and you can try to see what you can do. But like 91% is very high. And we can prevent those 91s to convert back into coming back to us, and it's a lot of money that we're gonna be saving.
So the biggest opportunity that you possibly have when dealing with a complaint or a bad review from a customer is turning that bad feedback into a raving customer based on how you handled the situation. So we're gonna go through, maybe bounce a couple ideas off of different ways you can fix the issue. Some of them will be monetary unwise, some of them would just being thoughtful.
Yeah.
So like, let's give an example. So generally, most customers are gonna want some form of money back, and really, I know most people are kind of negative about that, but I know we've learned, like, sometimes $20 can sway a whole bunch.
Yeah.
like a lot. You could be on the edge from like trying to come to your house and kill you one night to, you know, them baking you breakfast the next day.
Yeah, that's for sure. I think we've had a lot of situations where, like, one moment we're enemies, and the next thing you know, they're inviting us over, introducing us to their family and stuff like that. So it's always a good feeling when they
isn't that how you met Lily?
Yeah, no, nothing like that. But as far as like situations, like for instance, we'll just say we had some cocktail tables go out, and some of them were kind of scratched up on the top. One of the things that we would do is say, hey, what we can do is we can offer you table covers at no cost. You know, it'll be like the basic ones, like black or something like that. If they want to change a color, then you can upsell them. Like, okay, well, we can do the color at a discounted price, $5 each. Or usually 15 or what have you, something like that. You know, just it's a simple fix, and also it'll make their event look very nice with no table covers.
So yeah, so that's simple right there. It could be just adding on some extra items, giving a refund, can just be really just a nice apology, or just like a, hey, we noticed this is the issue. You know, we do have this in the policy, but like, we apologize for it. Or it could be just maybe not charging them something extra. Maybe meeting them some way on it, because maybe they need some extra help for something, or going above and beyond. I know for us, most of the times when we didn't really have the extra money to give refunds, we used to be like, you know, going out of there and really just like, you know, hey, where you want us to set this up at? 100 yards, no problem. We're going to get it for you. Offering them other services. Store credit has been a huge thing for us as well. But usually the earlier you get there, the faster that you can get it turned around and the cheaper as well. And so, like, you really got to, like, be on it.
Yeah. And then, like, also, like, another situation that I just popped in my head is, like, we'll have, like, a specific item that the customer that was supposed to bring it back a couple of days before, and now we don't have this item, and the customer comes to pick it up, and that customer isn't going to drop it off until later that day. And the customer's like, well, I'm already here, and now they're upset. Even though we already called them and let them know, but for some reason, their husband's now just magically here. So one thing that what we do is we just say, hey, you know what? We're going to go get it delivered for you at no cost, stuff like that. Even though I know Xavier beat me up, like, all right, whenever Walmart says they don't have the stuff there, Amazon. And it's supposed to, yeah, or Amazon, like, they're not giving it to you for free or doing this, but You know, stuff like that you can always do. Just throw it in there to make a customer.
Let's get into our interesting fact.
83% of customers agree that they feel more loyal to brands that respond and resolve their complaints.
Okay, so that means out of that 91% of people, you have an 83% chance by just taking care of them to get them to come back.
That's true.
As we're there, let's go into the rental rundown.
Rental rundown.
Tracking your FAQs.
How do I follow up with a customer complaint?
Eddie?
How do you follow up? Well, it just varies. If it's we'll just say if it's a bad negative review, then you can just reply back to it and apologize and have them reach out to you directly. That's one method to do it. But also, I know nobody likes it, but you're gonna have to call the person so you can hear them out. And the main thing when you do call the person and you get them on the phone, you need to do more listening than talking, because that's what they just want to be heard. So just be more listening, and then you have to bite your tongue a couple times, if you're that type of person. But also be like empathetic about their whole situation and actually make them feel like you care. Obviously you do, because you're calling them back, but that's the main thing, is just you call them, figure out what the problem is, and then you don't have to make a decision right then and there, but you can let them know, hey, I'm gonna look into it. That way you have some time to think, because sometimes it might get too heated and you might ready to blow your top, but just acknowledge them and say, what, I'm gonna do some investigating in this, let me do my back, and then I'm gonna give you a call back. And then give them a time too. Say, I'm gonna call you tomorrow at noon, and just make sure you call them.
Yeah, one thing I've been doing recently, which has worked almost too well, is matching their intensity. So I realized that only one person can be mad in a situation, like fully, full on, Hulk rage mad. So when you fill the spot, they usually go from there. Because I remember I talked to a customer not too long ago. One of the customers bought the margarita machine. Mm-hmm. So I tried something different. I was like, well, I'm just going to try something in this one. And I'm like, let's just see what happens. And so they'll call and say, hey, the margarita machine didn't work. It's broken. I was like, okay, why did you say that it's broken? She said, because it says that the margarita machine makes 50 cups. I said, okay, so could you walk me through the process of what you did? So she said the driver told me specifically, just pour the mix in there and put some alcohol in there, and then you're good. So mine is, this bottle of mix is about 60 ounces. She said she put about 10 ounces of alcohol in there. Somehow they're supposed to get to 400 ounces. Not mathematically possible. The driver didn't tell her that she needs to add water to the mix to be able to get it mixed up to make it work. And she said it didn't freeze because it's just alcohol and syrup. So obviously alcohol and syrup is not going to freeze. So basically what I did, I let her tell me the story, listened to the whole thing. And then she was like, this is unacceptable. I was like, you are perfectly right. This is eventually, it was really unacceptable. Could you give me the name of the driver? She said, I don't have the name. And then she was saying, like, let me look it up. Was it Luis? Yes, Luis. And I said the driver's name. Oh, sorry. We said the driver's name. And then the driver, then she was like, then I went from, okay, so he's done. He's out of here. Gone. Nothing. And she's like, no, you don't have to do that. He was still nice. I'm saying, like, this is unacceptable. We do not do this at Kelly Rentals at all. And so she went through the whole process, and I think I recorded somewhere, but I don't think we were sure. But then she went through the whole process. She was like, okay, no. And I was saying, like, and ma'am, because she was like, she got brought a broken pop-up tank. We were having that issue because people weren't labeling them correctly. And then she said, okay, ma'am. And then she said, my husband and I went out and bought a pop-up tent. And I was like, ma'am, how much was the pop-up tent? She said, oh, it was $99. I said, I got you on that, $99. So just whole thing. And it's just then, like, I told her that on the margarita machine, this is what we're going to do for her. I'm going to fire the guy that did it. I'm going to take the margarita machine. I'm going to refund you the margarita machine. And then your next event, I'm going to give you the same margarita machine for free. And then I'm going to buy the pop-up tent from you, but you get to keep the pop-up tent. So we never had this issue again. And I'm going to give you a store credit to take care of your whole next event. And then she was like, and I'm going to find out who told you on the phone not how to do this, and they're gone too. And she was like, no, you don't have to do that. If we just get the money for the pop-up, margarita machine, we're just fine, and we'll take your offer on using margarita machine again in the future. Like, I didn't want no one to get fired. I'm saying, like, ma'am, someone has to get fired because this is unacceptable. You said it yourself. So there's no way us as a company can do this. And so then she was like, well, maybe it's not as bad as what you call it is, because everybody had fun. You know, it was kind of syrupy and stuff like that, but it was good. So, yeah, sorry going on a tangent, but yeah.
Next question is, how do I alleviate an upset customer?
So usually, as I gave you one tactic, matching their energy. But usually when I start any conversation with a customer, like, I already have what I'm willing to give to them. Uh-huh. And then I just go ahead and give it to them at the very beginning. So we're already on the same side. Because when you're starting a conversation with them, you start off, they're on this side, you're on that side. You need to end the conversation next to each other right here. So we're looking at this problem together so we can get it dealt with. But the best way to do that is to go ahead and give up your concessions you're going to give up anyway without doing the negotiation. Usually when that happens, you never really have to give up anything else.
That's pretty much it. I mean, the only thing is, what I do, because like sometimes I can get out of here cheaper than what you said. So I personally feel the customer out. So I take their temperature.
I get
the little thermometer and I put it in their mouth. Like, all right, let's see what your temperature is. Oh, you're really hot. You're boiling. let me listen to you. Cause
that's
like,
so respectable.
You know, and once they tell me, you know, everything that they have to tell me, and then obviously they're gonna want some kind of compensation. And I tell them, well, what do you expect? And sometimes and I hear you. That's good to tell them. This is what we can do for you. But I listen to what they have to say. Sometimes it may be lower what I was gonna give, so I'll take that and I'll consider it as a win. But sometimes if it's above what I was anticipating, and I'd say, well, this is what I think, which is fair, and then I'll give my logic behind everything. And like, for instance, some of the things that people like, refund everything. And I'm like, okay, well, I understand that you want everything refunded, but I have a couple questions. And did you use the items? Yes, we did. How was the event? He's like, the event was fine, but it was still, I expected this. And so, well, I think this is reasonable. And, you know, I'll give them some, like I guess, instant value, and then also some in the future, because I want them to come back, just like kind of like the last situation. I want them to come back and do business with us. So I'll offer them like a store credit, like, you know, $100 or what have you, in order for them to come back. And then if they don't come back, I never really lost anything on that. But, you know, I maybe lost half up front, and then, you know, really didn't lose anything because store credit. But nine times out of 10, they're coming back. If not, they're telling their friend to use the store credit, which is cool.
Yeah, but you're going to have your situations and everything like that. We would love to hear about your situations, what you got going on in your business, and just to hear about the stories that you have so we can be able to educate each other as a whole community. The whole point of the Rental Boys is to help everybody grow and grow into some big businesses. Like, we're growing every day, you're growing every day, the podcast's growing. Well, it should be if you have subscribed and liked this and gave us a 5-star review. If not, we're going to be crying until it happens. But thank you guys so much for watching. I'm Xavier Kelly.
I'm Eddie Salcedo.
Make sure you get that checklist. We the Rental Boys, and we'll see you in the next one.
See you.
Yeah.